lost and wondering, as if waking suddenly. Was it real or just a dream? Where is she?
Where is she?
Was she really here today? Or was I just drifting back to the times I heard her say?
Gonna wish everybody goodbye on this Monday. Maybe we'll play another song because no one's here yet, but you just heard some Circle with She Was Here, The Visit, and little Lo Borges here. Type that in. All this water. Fantastico. And I'll probably fade this one out and play another song. I don't know, something upbeat. A little suggestion action. Something good. Something happy. Something nice.
Close my eyes, I can feel you. I run away with my imagination, and I am blinded by your light. You fill up the room. a secret I need to tell you. Exquisite visions fill up my mind. I need to tell you. I have been true and I needed no clue. We live in such extraordinary times. Exquisite visions fill up my mind.
Good afternoon, Medford. It is currently 1:04 p.m. You are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 Tufts Freeform Radio. This is DJ Molly, and you're listening to Chatting with Molly. So we also have a guest on today. Guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, yes, I'm Claire. I am Molly's friend.
And where are you from, Claire?
I'm from the Netherlands.
And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm a sophomore, and I'm studying biology, and I enjoy playing frisbee with Molly, and yeah, I'm very excited to be on the radio show today. It's a miserable day, but it's a nice day for radio.
Very true, and we're happy to have you on today. Have you ever been on the radio show before?
Just one time. I think it was the initial radio show.
Yes.
Very early in the morning.
Claire was on my very first show, and I will tell you, I was pretty nervous because I had never swiped into the station or used the equipment by myself, and I thought, you know, what a great time to have two guests on my first show.
And calls.
And calls. You know, it was a rocky road, but we figured it out.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so. It was my first time on a radio show also, and I have to say, I haven't been on any other radio shows since, so.
Amazing. Well, we're glad to have you back. Yeah, so Claire talked a little bit about the weather. It is pouring out right now, and it is Marathon Monday here in Boston, so those poor runners who are running their marathon, they've been looking forward to. Yeah, probably miserable.
And then it's also rainy. It's yeah. Not great.
Yeah, the worst of all worlds, honestly. Let's see, what else? Tell me about your weekend. Any highlights?
Well, we had sectionals for frisbee on Saturday.
And how did we do?
We did pretty well, I would say. I think you could say that we rolled our section.
I think so as well.
We were number one in the, what is it, Metro East Boston?
Metro, yeah, something like that. Yeah. Metro Boston East.
So that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Happy about that. And that was definitely the highlight of my weekend.
Good. Yeah, sectionals was very windy, I would say. Yesterday, I went to the Boston Red Sox game. That was quite the event. It was the coldest game played in Fenway since 2002.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, it was kind of, the weather was definitely miserable, but I still had a good time.
Who won?
the Red Sox won. We won 3-1, very exciting, against the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
Yeah, those poor baseball boys. They look so cold out there. Didn't have any gloves on.
Wear any layers.
No coats. Shoot. It's really too bad. But so I'm gonna give some shout outs to my listeners. First is to the OG listener Richard Littman, my father.
Hello, Richard.
He says hello to Claire, and he is just excited to be listening. Second is to a new listener, Matthew Zeman, who has been listening to archives lately of my show and is very excited to be listening. Shout out to you, Zeman. All the way from Italy, he's listening right now.
What?
Yeah. So we went to camp together for basically our whole lives. And then this past summer, we were, I would say, co's together. So we are both assistant directors of the CIT program. Mm-hmm. And we spent about probably 22 hours a day together within a 10-foot radius.
Wow.
So our rooms are right next to each other. Yeah, very good friends. Our rooms are next to each other, so we were right there next to each other when we were sleeping, and then basically any other time during the day you could find us together. So it was a good time. So
there are probably only under 6 people I could do that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, there are very few. I don't even know if I have 6 people in my life that I could do that.
I said 6. I don't remember. I don't know if I could actually count.
Yeah.
6.
I think it definitely tested our friendship, I would say. People were skeptical. if I do mention one name, Adina Goldberg, Zeman, if you're listening, you'll understand. But Adina is a mutual friend of ours, and she likes to, you know, acknowledge our friendship, and she told us that, you know, you guys will not be friends by the end of the summer. And I told her, au contraire, Pierre, we will. And you know what? It's worked out for better or for worse. That's kind of how I know Zeman, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then listeners, for those of you keeping track, last week Eli Ziff called in, and he's part of the same crew. And so we're expanding our listener base here on Chatting with Molly to all walks of life.
Yeah. Getting a big reputation.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we have 11 listeners. Oh, wait, 12 listeners today.
Wow.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Can you see who it is?
No, I can't see. I just know that 11 are listening on the mobile stream, and then one is listening on, like, the real radio.
Whoa.
So shout out to the person listening to the real radio.
It could be Posh and Romy, because they drove by in their car, and I said, I'm going to be on the radio show, and they said they would tune in.
Amazing.
I wonder.
Why are they driving in their car right now?
They wanted to get groceries.
Oh, that's a classic errand. Yeah. I need to do some of that.
Me too. For a long time.
Yeah, it's all right. So, also, Claire and I will be living in the same house this summer and for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting. Claire, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we're living in a house with, 9 or 10?
11.
We're living with 11 people total. And it's 2 apartments, and it's just a bunch of our friends, and we're going to be here over the summer. Most of us are going to be here over the summer, and then some of us are going abroad next semester. But it's going to be a really good time. It's going to be fun.
I think it'll be fun also. Now, I hope listeners can hear Claire a little bit better now. Claire, do you want to talk again?
Yeah. That's sharp now.
That is much better. All right. I just a little adjustment can make a big difference. It's going to be fun. I think we were thinking about some house traditions we want to have. And we really want to have a little Saturday night karaoke.
Yeah. And then Sunday morning brunch.
Yes.
That'll be the progression of
A little 1-2 punch on the weekend. I think it's going to be a good time. There's a lot of us staying here this summer, which is super fun. And then some of us are jetting off in the fall in different directions.
Yeah.
Do you know your progression?
It's been a long series of trying to make a decision.
but
do you want us to walk us through?
So I got into a program in South Africa. It's a research kind of program, and you go out into Kruger National Park and you go to a research base, and then you do a bunch of ecology research, and then you go to another research base, and you just kind of do that for a couple months. And I've heard very good things about it, but you know, it's out in the middle of nowhere, which would be very interesting but exciting, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll have to decide within the next 7 days.
Oh, nice. Okay.
We'll see.
Where are you, like, if you had to make a decision in the next 7 seconds, where, like, boom, what's your answer?
I think I would stay here.
Oh, snap.
It's unfortunate because I want to be the type of person that just goes off to South Africa. But the truth is, it's going to make the rest of my Tufts, like, career much harder.
Yeah,
all the other semesters will have to be packed with requirements, and then like summer classes.
Yeah,
so I don't know, and I like it here.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
but I could still change my mind. I haven't given up hope.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors, and it's like a big decision. Yeah. And the good news is you're just picking between two good things.
That's what my dad keeps saying. Some other quotes have been, any path you take will be rewarding and challenging and interesting, and you'll find your passion and you'll just learn and live. And it's just been a lot of those quotes haven't really indicated any sort of opinion. Yeah,
not always helpful, but definitely maybe reassuring.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
Yeah. So what else? What'd you have for breakfast today?
I had some oats.
Oh.
I think actually that's a really good question. If you ask someone who you don't know at all, as like a little bit of an icebreaker, what do you like to have for breakfast? You can tell a lot about a person by what they like to have for breakfast.
I agree. Yeah. Do you have oats most days? Walk us through your breakfast choices.
Okay. Well, I like to have yogurt. Actually, I only have oats when I don't have yogurt. Mm. Yogurt, frozen blueberries, defrost them, throw them in there. Then have some granola. I like the unbaked granola, just kind of grains and nuts and raisins and stuff. And then, you mix it all up and it's really good. Have some coffee with it.
Nice.
It's a great breakfast every day.
Wow. So are you the type of person that if you have the appropriate supplies, you could just have the same breakfast every single day?
Oh, yeah. I've had that breakfast all through high school, most of elementary school.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a standard in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? What is your breakfast?
I don't know. I like to mix it up. I love a good breakfast sandwich. Mm-hmm. Just like, I would say most days in the dining hall, first thing I do, I walk in, toast my English muffin. Because that always takes a while because you have to put it in 3 cycles.
You do 3 cycles?
Oh, yeah.
That's heavy toasting.
But the thing is, in Carm, the cycles are way... So Tufts has 2 dining halls, Carmichael and DeWick. And the toasting is so invariable. In DeWick, the toasting, you can do 1 and then the second one will burn your toast. And in Carm, I do 3 and it's still like kind of light.
Shoot.
Yeah. So... Got to put in 3 whole cycles, and then I get my eggs, and I put a little cheese on them, and then they often have spinach and tomato, and then I put a little mustard on one side, a little cream cheese on the other, fold it all together, got a nice little sandwich.
That's a good breakfast.
Yeah, it is a good breakfast, and good thing about the dining halls is they like to switch up their menu for breakfast, but they always have 1 type of egg, and so whether it's scrambled or fried or whatever they have, I can always kind of put that in my sandwich. Yeah. So it works out.
It's a good staple.
Yeah. And then I also like yogurt or a bagel or oatmeal. Last year, I was so into the oatmeal.
Yeah, I love the oatmeal.
Had it maybe like once or twice.
Mm. I would extra microwave it to get a little bit less goopy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I would add peanut butter to make it a little less goopy.
Mm.
Obviously, that's not a neutral choice. It added some nice peanut flavor as well. Yeah.
It's always good to have peanut butter.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to play a little song today. I recently came across this song. I've known this song for a while, but I hadn't heard it since like 2016. 2016 or something. I don't know. It was big in the summer, and it's called Lost Boy by Ruth B. And it's just so nice.
It is a nice song.
And so we're going to listen to that now. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll have a little commentary afterwards.
All right.
There was a time when I was alone, nowhere to go and no place to call home. My only friend was the man in the moon, and even sometimes he would go away too. Then one night as I closed my eyes, I saw a shadow flying high. He came to me with the sweetest smile, told me he wanted to talk for a while. He said, Peter Pan, that's what they call me. I promise that I'll never be lonely. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. He sprinkled me in pixie dust and told me to believe, believe in him and believe in me. Together we will fly away in a cloud of green to your beautiful destiny. As we soared above the town that never loved me, I realized I finally had a family. Soon enough we reach Neverland, peacefully my feet hit the sand. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. And for always I will say, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free.
Welcome back. That was Ruth B. with Lost Boy. I really enjoy that song. Claire, did you enjoy that song?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I've heard it in high school, but it's been a while.
Yeah. It's kind of a, you know, slow, sad one for matching this rainy day.
Miserable, miserable day.
Oh, man, I see a big tour group. That's a shame that they're touring today.
I remember going to Vassar and touring Vassar, and it was pouring down rain, and it was so cold and so gross, and there was just no one outside, and it was so dark, and I was like, this place is the worst place on earth. I don't want to be here for another minute.
And that's why Claire doesn't go to Vassar.
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad that no one on that tour is going to come here.
That's just 20 people we can count out for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, Claire, I've been thinking about a juxtaposition lately, and it has to do with decision making.
Okay.
And this is a concept I heard actually when I attended my brother Josh's graduation, and the speech was like really good and it really stuck with me. And it was the contrast between maximizers and satisfiers. And so when you are on like listening to the radio, speaking of which, but let's say in your car and there are like a bunch of different songs on, do you, if you find a song that you like, I mean, who knows if it's your favorite song ever, but it's just like a nice song you enjoy. You know for sure you enjoy it. Do you search every other radio station to see if a different song will be better? Or do you just say, hey, this is good. I know I'll enjoy it, so might as well just stick with that.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. I go back and forth. Sometimes I get really overwhelmed by all the options, and that's when it's good to only maybe have a few. Because often, you know, it's taking a risk to find something that you may like more, but may like worse too.
Right.
So, yeah, that's an interesting one. I think that, you know, it's good to appreciate what you have, but also good to kind of see what else is out there.
So neither.
It's really no good.
So you did
no
right answer. I think my tendency is to be a maximizer. Yeah. I always am trying to like find the best permutation, like I don't know, on a menu, like I struggle so much with looking at menus.
Oh, and I
just like, if I don't know, different decisions I like need to make sure that I have all the information. But
that makes it harder to make decisions too.
Right. And there's always an opportunity cost to your time spent gathering that info.
Yeah.
And so that's something I often don't take into consideration.
Yeah.
So,
and things can always be better, you know.
Yeah.
Never really can find something that's perfect at all times.
That's true. But sometimes there is a way to exhaust the list. And so you're not endlessly searching, but you're searching to make sure you just have all the information. I don't know. I'm thinking about it like with this job search this summer. I was talking to NASA, NASA's a Frisbee alum who came to watch our sectionals, and she was asking me about this summer. I was like, oh yeah, I have like an option that's, you know, pretty good, but I'm just like waiting to hear back from others. You know, as a normal question, she was like, oh, what are the other options that would be better than this one? And I was like, oh, I don't really know if there's going to be a better option. And she's like, oh, really? Then you should for sure just take the one you have.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that is super obvious.
That's a logical way of thinking.
Really important.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I've been thinking about how much I pursue these other options. Because, I mean, the real answer is that I don't know exactly what these opportunities are going to be.
So you don't know if it's going to be better
and
or
so
not.
And so I need to, like, go through this interview process in order to know. But at the same time, there's like a write-up of what it is, kind of.
Yeah.
And so I can give my best guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I often take the strategy of having all my options open and then kind of waiting for something to decide for me.
Yeah.
Which hasn't always worked out. But that's definitely the strategy I'm taking with this whole South Africa thing. Is that I just have it open. If something that happens this week that makes me think, yep, that's what I should do, then I'll go with that. But
yeah,
it's definitely hard because you're choosing something that's unknown.
Yeah.
And for your job, you don't know like how it could be just like one coworker that you don't like that can make the experience worse, or it could be like your best friend for the rest of your life, right. Which, you know, you never know until you do it.
Yeah.
Can't really say.
Yeah, but regardless, it's all good things.
How did you do that with like colleges?
So I actually had a ton of buyer's remorse after I decided Tufts because I did early decision, mm-hmm. so it was binding,
mm-hmm.
and so my strategy was kind of if there's an opportunity that is made easier and more available by playing this ED card,
mm-hmm.
by saying like,
yeah.
doubling down and being like, all right, school, if you give me an offer, I'm gonna go there.
Yeah.
And if I could do that and otherwise like get a better result than if I mm-hmm. didn't, then I mm-hmm. should, you know, take advantage
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know I wanted to come to Tufts.
Yeah.
I, to be completely honest, I think the thing that made me hit send on that application was, probably like won't get in here, so then I'll just apply to more schools, mm-hmm. and I won't actually be bound, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but
yeah,
we all know how that went.
Here we are.
I don't know, I think with college I really took on the mindset that there are so many possibilities,
mm-hmm,
of
mm-hmm.
like where I could go that there is absolutely no way to be a maximizer.
No.
You can't apply
yeah.
to every school,
no,
and you can't
not.
Know what every school is like.
Yeah.
So there has to be some aspect of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that aspect of satisfaction doesn't really matter what school you go to.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of matters what you do there, mm-hmm. and how you like deal with going to school and what mm-hmm. opportunities you take advantage of.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of the, because it was such a big decision, I was conscious about making that decision differently than how I usually make it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's kind of my experience. What was your experience with picking?
Well, I didn't actually know that I wanted to come to the US, but it was once again an option I was keeping open. I took the SATs and I went to look at schools, and I didn't really delve too deep into picking colleges. I kind of like looked on the East Coast and then looked at, you know, Frisbee was a factor, seeing
yeah.
what teams like or what schools had a good team and like what the overall like quality of the university was, and I really liked Tufts, and then I just kind of thought, okay, I'll just apply ED to Tufts, and if I don't get in, I'll just go to a school in the Netherlands, because that was like my next kind of option.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's becoming apparent to me in this radio show that I don't actually ever take decisions. I just kind of leave things open and then see what happens and
yeah.
go with that, which is an interesting strategy. I'm learning a lot about
yeah.
myself right now.
But, you know, that's what we do here on Chat and Molly.
Yeah.
We dive deep and
self-discovery.
We learn about ourselves. It's so interesting because this is such a huge decision that mm-hmm. 17-year-olds have
yeah.
to make.
And you don't know what it's going to be like. You don't
you
know if you're
no
going to be
idea.
Happy. So you just kind of have to try and go with it and then calibrate as needed.
Yeah, it's so faith-based. And
mm-hmm.
I just had dinner with a camper of mine, and she was visiting college. She's a senior,
mm-hmm.
and she is just so torn about what she wants, where she
yeah.
like needs to go, you know,
mm-hmm.
all those pressures,
mm-hmm.
And it's even tougher because she's doing acting. She's doing like theater programs.
Oh,
and so, you know, some schools she got into the theater program
yeah.
and some schools she didn't get into the theater program, but got in the normal school. So
yeah.
does she still want to go there?
Yeah,
and
what do you stick with?
And then like tons of wait lists because
mm-hmm.
that's just like indicative to theater programs.
Yeah.
And then they don't tell you till later. And so
ugh,
it's just
so hard.
Yeah. It's like really a messy
wow.
situation, but you know, I'm rooting for Northeastern, so she can be
that's
nearby.
Close by. Yeah,
that'd
yeah,
be
yeah.
so fun to
oh,
have her here.
That's good.
But I don't know. I hope she finds her way and like
yeah.
figures it out.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
It is, yeah. It's so much depends on it, but in the end, like, everything is kind of the same. Like,
yeah,
you get a degree from this place or the next place, like, in the end, it probably doesn't matter. But
yeah,
that's hard to see when you're in
it. It's totally hard to see. Okay, so we're gonna read a little PSA right now because don't tell the federal government, but I forgot last week. So
do you have to do it every hour?
Yeah, you have to do it once an hour. There has to be a PSA because we are an education radio or something like that.
Mm.
And so we gotta get some PSAs. I am going to pick one out and Claire is going to read it.
Okay.
Nice. This is a short guy.
All right. Numbers to think about. Some numbers to think about. The United States has less than 5% of the planet's population, but incarcerates 24% of its prisoners and accounts for 43% of the world's total military spending.
Wow.
That's crazy. I actually knew about the incarceration rate. And it's interesting because in the Netherlands, where I'm from, they're actually losing prisoners. They don't have enough. They're turning prisons into like refugee kind of housing situations.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and they're making them really nice, and they're like taking out all the barbed wire and whatnot.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're doing a lot of like projects like that. I don't know why the crime rate is going down, but it's pretty
interesting. Is it the crime rate, or how does the Netherlands deal with crime in a sense of like either drug use or rehabilitation? Or I guess there are like a lot of drugs that are just legal.
More lenient. I mean, weed is legal, but others aren't.
Yeah, that's really true. That's true.
But that's definitely like marijuana incarceration, I feel like, is a pretty big deal here.
Yeah.
Or it just like adds to your strikes or something, right?
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Depends on the state.
Yeah, that's true. No. I'm not too sure about how they deal with it, but it seems it's a very safe country compared to the U.S. or like compared to most countries.
Yeah,
it's like, but I wonder if it's. Yeah, I wonder what that's about.
Yeah, I think there's a really interesting documentary about the 13th Amendment, which bans slavery, abolishes slavery in the U.S. And this documentary is all about how after the 13th Amendment, the U.S. just kind of like found new ways to enslave different like African Americans in the U.S. And so and part of that is mass incarceration and really biased kind of drug laws and bad stuff. So that's a really interesting documentary for anyone who wants to check that one out. But it's crazy. It's a big problem. But there's a really cool organization that Tufts does to kind of like bridge the gap between convicted felons / active prisoners and just like other members of society.
Mm-hmm.
And Tufts students actually go into prisons and teach prisoners how like different skills, like different math things, or how to read if they don't know how to read. And so that's really cool.
That's very cool.
Students do.
I've heard about that. It takes a bit of kind of training and getting used to, I think.
Yeah.
Before you can actually go.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It would be, it would be a really cool kind of life experience to have under your belt.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love to, I'm pretty passionate about the re-entering of society after incarceration because it's such a horrible problem that people go back to prison after they exit.
Yeah, my dad, actually, when he lived in San Francisco, he was a psychologist and he worked in a halfway house for a long time. And that was a very interesting experience for him. He just dealt with a lot of people coming out of prison and how to get back on your feet and how to get back into your life. And, you know, so many people turn right around and go right back, but mostly because they don't really know how to function anymore.
Definitely.
As someone in society.
I worked in a nonprofit in Israel that was like a soup kitchen, and obviously like the soup kitchen was serving like the homeless, but the people who would cook were ex-felons who were got like, it was part of their parole deal. So they got out early from prison to do community service, and that community service could count as like working in the soup kitchen. Mm-hmm. And they would get trained, and they like would cook these huge meals and get trained as, you know, like get have those skills. But it kind of made me think about a cool idea for a nonprofit that would be a soup kitchen, but instead of just serving meals, you're having like a chef training program, and you can have like different people who are recently exiting prison or different like people who are marginalized in another way in the community come and learn this hard skill so that they can come out of the program and have like a chef certificate or mm-hmm. something, and then be able to kind of start their new life, and then also see homeless people on a day-to-day basis and interact with them and realize mm-hmm. that like there are steps they need to take to not go down that path.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like a community serving itself in multiple ways.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Circling.
Yeah. Lots of circles. yeah. So we can listen to a little more music. Claire, do you want to pick the next song? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah. Let me.
While you're looking,
my playlist.
I can, you know, talk about some songs I've played in the past. Mm-hmm. So I have closed out with a little Jennifer Hudson these past few weeks.
Interesting.
She just blows me away. Just so talented. And all right, so this next song, per Claire's request, is going to be called Jack and Wilson.
Jackie and Wilson.
Oh, you're so right. Mm-hmm. Jackie and Wilson.
By Hozier.
By Hozier. I never know how to pronounce
that. Me neither. Just kind of wing it.
Yeah, we just do what we can. But, all right, so here is Hozier.
Call me baby from her hands to my head. She'll know me crazy, soothe me daily, but yet she wouldn't care. the green at night, let my mind reset. Looking up from a cigarette, she's already left. I start digging up the art for what's left of me in our little vignette. For whatever poor soul is coming next, she's gonna save me, call me baby. From her hands to my head, she'll know me crazy, soothe me daily. Better yet, she wouldn't care. We'll steal her Lexus, be detective, ride around picking up clues. We'll name our children Jackie and Wilson, raise them on rhythm and blues.
In my head, I play a supercut of us. All the magic we gave off, all the love we had and lost. And in my head, the visions never stop. These ribbons wrap me up, but when I reach for you, there's just a supercut. In your car, the radio up. We keep trying to talk about us. I'm someone you may be my love. I'll be your quiet afternoon crush. Be your violent overnight rush. Make you crazy over my touch. But it's just a supercut of us. Supercut of us. Oh, it's just a supercut of us. And the stars, I turn all of it to just a supercut. Cause in my head, I do everything right. When you call, I've forgiven that fight. Because all of the moments I play in the dark, we were wild and fluorescent. Come home to my heart. In your car, the radio up. We keep trying to talk about us. Motion, I'm watching our love. I'll be your quiet afternoon crush. Be your violent overnight rush. Make you crazy over my touch. But it's just a supercut of us. Supercut of us. Oh, it's just a supercut of us. Supercut of us. All the moments I play in the dark, I'm fluorescent, come home to my heart. Cause in my head I do everything right. When you call, I've forgiven that fight. Because all of the moments I play in the dark, we were wild and fluorescent, come home to my heart.
Come home to my heart. Let it ring through you, but I won't go.